Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Amen. Go ahead and make a joyful noise and I'll move on. Not bad. Crazy church, isn't it? You know, there were some people that have visited through the years and they're like, man, that's crazy, but I'm coming back. Yeah, amen. Some people didn't like me or the church. They resented us. And they go, man, I can't believe we resented you so bad. Now we're a member of this place. Does that make sense? Serve the Lord with his gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And does this get the, do we drop the screen on this? I think we do. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And know that the Lord, he is God and is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. Say that with me. The Lord is good. And his steadfast love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. So this is just like 15 seconds. And I'm going to talk to you. And I'll kind of step out of the way. And then just hold on for just a second. We're going to flash this up here real quick. Okay, let's leave that there. Thank you. I want to talk to you about this because a lot of times, I'll just be honest with you, we don't ever send out any envelopes or end of the year giving till end of the year. So my people were like, man, why don't you tell everybody how you can give? And I do know this, but sometimes I forget about it. Your money given to the church is something that you'll get to see eternity in eternity. And I found out if we don't take care of our money, they just end up taxing us on all of it. So I wanted to make sure that you guys knew there's a couple of different ways to give in person, like we're getting ready to do in the basket. And these new ways I don't even think of because I'm not tech savvy. Did I tell you that? I'm not tech savvy. I was kind of tech savvy with the old phone that I had. They bought me a new phone. I'm not tech savvy with it at all. And I actually forgot it this morning. And I'm one of the guys, and I just want to hear from the ladies or the husbands here. When I go to put my phone back in the holster that it goes in that they got me, I hit all kinds of buttons and all kinds of things go on. I'm calling people and hey, did you call me? And I'm like, no, I didn't call you. So I'm low on tech savvy. So they go, just use the pictures, Pastor, and everyone will understand. So we're down to pictures. You can give online, and all you tech savvy people know that. And here's what I would do if I was a single guy, Gary. I would just do this. Text to tithe. As soon as somebody showed me how to text to tithe, you can do that on your phone. So there that is. And then the last one, obviously, always is snail mail. So let's pray for the offering. Lord, we just want to pray for the offering, regardless of how it gets in the basket. And we realize that a dollar, a dime, $1,000 is money that is given to your kingdom, and we'll see a great return for it. So bless it ahead of time. In thy name of Jesus, amen. So applaud the Lord. We'll let the offering be picked up. I got a great video for you, and I want to tell you something. If you don't laugh at this video, then you don't have a dysfunctional family like I do, okay? It's about like kind of like a dysfunctional family, and your family's perfect, I know that, but you'll still chuckle at this. Go ahead and roll that in there, Diane. Thank you.
And now, a Thanksgiving moment.
You know, this is the time of year when we realize what it is we have to be thankful for. Of course, I'm talking about Thanksgiving. I know it. Hang on a second. This is called suede, buddy, so you need to be careful with that lollipop. It's time to be with your kids and your nieces and nephews, and don't touch them. That's just going to egg them on. That's just... It's time when I remember all the warmth and love of conversations and, well, let's just... Guys, hey, guys, seriously.
Why don't you come help?
Don't even. But I know that I remember growing up, you know what, this is not going to work. Haley, I'm sorry, my back is killing me. This kid's about to break my knee off. This one is as ripe as it gets. We need some, a lot of wipes for that one. Well, that's right, and I remember the turkey and dressing, and you bet there was some cranberry sauce if Uncle Teddy had anything to do with it. And Uncle Floyd, I tell you what, Haley, you've got to get her out of here because my headache is about to explode here.
Hey, seriously, Daryl, how about helping out this year?
Hey, I'll tell you what, why don't you go outside and wait for me? All right. And I remember sitting around and laughing as a family, and sweetie, I have got to have some room here to do this. I know, you know what? This is like a practical joke. This is terrible. Okay, I'm about to freak out here.
Daryl, should we put you at the kids' table since you're helping about as much as they are, or?
Hold on, hold on.
Don't point anymore. Do not point at me. Do not point.
So my hope is that you have a very blessed time and a relaxing Thanksgiving.
Oh, it always happens on the holidays, doesn't it? We get to see what kind of families we really have in the holidays. Would you rise with me? We'll pray for the scripture today. And raise your hand if you're ready for God to touch your life today. So, Father God, all the hands that are raised, they need a touch, whether it's healing, mental stability, financial issues, marriage issues, or maybe all the same at one time. And just bless them today. And thank you that they're here. And those who are on live stream, we want to bless them too. In thy name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So applaud the Lord one more time. Wave to your neighbor and say happy Thanksgiving. Go ahead and sit down for just a second. I'm not going to be very long today. We're going to turn up the house lights. Get your phone out, if you would, please, and text your friend. Tell them to be at hbwt.org. There are a lot of people over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house. Some are deer hunting. And some aren't feeling well. So text them and tell them to tune in to Have Bible Travel. We're coming from Galatians chapter 5. Verses 22 through 23. Now, when I break this open, what I'm going to be talking about is our new nature or the new birth, what we possess, Franny, what God says we have in us. This is going to be, Larry, you're going to get this, but there may be some people that don't quite understand what's going on in our society here. I'll break it all down, Chris and Scott, so you guys understand what's happening here. Nothing new. But there's a lot to see here, so make sure you tune in. All right, go with me, and then we'll crack it open. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and say the last one with me, self-control. One more time, self-control. So after the message is over, I come back here, and we park for just a second, Mandy, and it helps us in the midst of the climate that we're in right now. And I know everybody that's here, I think I know most of you guys, you all could use a little added self-control, couldn't you? Because if I get, it's like the guy sitting down there. Did that ring anybody's bell? He's trying to do a video and the kids are there. My back's hurting and all that and all that. Thank God that we don't have to wait for our feelings to adjust before we can thank God. Don't wait. You're like, I would thank God if I felt better and all that. He doesn't want you to wait. He's not asking you how you feel. He's just asking him, are you able to praise him in the middle of the storm? Yes. It's easy to praise him when you got everything. But sometimes we need to learn how to get thankful in the midst of a situation. And he says that you have these qualities in you because he put them in there and they need to be developed like any muscle. I talk about that a lot. Developing muscle is a great thing, whether it be spiritual or physical. I hope you develop both because it has true benefits to it. Gentleness and self-control, against such thing there is no law. and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let's talk about that. I didn't get to break that down at the last service. So we got to crucify, or the Apostle Paul says, I got to buffet the body. So to make sure that I don't fall in to the passions of the flesh. And my true passion is eating. I'm passionate about eating. I was at the farm the other night, and I was out there. Here's the deal at the farm. There's nothing to eat, so you got to drive yourself crazy. And I keep going back to the refrigerator thinking that there's something magically going to be in the bunkhouse. And you go, no, Rankin, you never brought anything there. You have about 19 pounds of coffee. Drink another one of those. Look at your neighbor and say, amen. I'm just hoping that something was there. Guess what I found on top of the refrigerator? Ramen noodles. Oh, yeah, don't eat them. Oh, everybody, you're acting like you like them. Oh, yeah, ramen. Did you check the sodium level on it? Good Lord, you could preserve a 20-pound ham with the sodium in that thing. I don't know how I get off on these things, but I'm heartbroken over the lack of food I had in the last 24 hours. But when I got back to St. Louis, I made up for it. When I got to the house, I was welcomed with donuts and all kinds of. Amen? But I have to be thankful that, you know, even if you don't have everything, my happiness can't be regulated over the food or lack thereof. So self-control, verse 24, and he says, I got to crucify the flesh and its desires. And I'll tell you how strong the desire can get. I even thought about, Gary, about driving to the store. And the general store is not open, which is only about 2 or 3 miles from my farm, but it closes at 6. And I thought about driving into town, quote unquote, which would have been about 12 or 15 miles. Can you imagine that at 9 p.m.? You're like, oh, you need snacks so bad, you got to go to the store. I was contemplating this. So what happens is the passion in the flesh can't be at such a level that my desire will drive me to doing something that I know I don't need. Now, you think about it before. I remember that, you know, it first spread. It was you go to the six-pack store to get a six-pack, and then after a while, the six-pack store calls you to make sure you come down to get it. Just say desire. Desire. All right, we're not getting many amens, so I'll move on from that. So he said you have to crucify that. What does that mean? Crucify means death. A lot of times people think it means life, but actually the crucifixion represents death because he died and killed off sin and its power so that you could be alive. Yeah. And so we don't have to soft pedal the gospel. Everybody wants everything soft pedaled and they want it half chewed here's the deal. At church today, we're all adults. We don't need anybody chewing our food for us. Yeah. We don't take a baba. We don't need it pureed. We're adults, so I'm going to give you the full-strength gospel today. Amen. And just two more verses, then we'll get back in it. It says, if we live by the Spirit, so this is where it's going to, this is where, if you're a worldly person, you have worldly friends, they're not going to like this. They won't like this at all. Because what's happening out there in the world, keep your eyes on me, what's happening out there in the world, Bill, is psychological manipulation right now. Where we're manipulating people to do things that we want them to do, even though they shouldn't do it because they're free people in America and they're free people as Christians right now. But if we tell it long enough, we can manipulate into thinking that this is actually real. Amen. Just follow me and you guys do your own synopsis on this. It says, if we live by the Spirit, you know, we're up here praising God, we're in the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost is alive, and he's given us all these gifts, and the laying on of hands, and speaking in other tongues, and all this. If we believe in all that, which we do, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's go back to talking about living in the Spirit. Living in the Spirit, he says, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. So what does that mean? Keeping in step with the Spirit means that my Christian walk needs to be a lifestyle. I need to be lockstep with God and his commandments and things that he wants me to do. See, what the world is doing is telling you that you need to stay in lockstep with what we're regurgitating for you. What they want to do is they want to manipulate you, and they want to tell you what you should do, when you should do it, how you should do it, and who you should do it with, and how many people you should do it with. Last time I checked, it not only is America, but you all own your own homes. And we don't need anybody. We don't need to go lockstep. I'm going to get this message out, Greg. Well, you should have heard it. They were standing on their heads after I gave the last one. What we want to do is we want to keep saying it over and over again so you start to believe that we have the best interest for you. So what you need to do is cancel Thanksgiving and cancel Christmas because we think it's better for you. Let me tell you something right here just so you know. Not only are we going to have Christmas here at Have Bible Will Travel, but we're going to have a Christmas production. We're going to glorify God. We're going to shout from the roof. We're going to light lights. We're going to have a tree. We're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and we ain't gonna fall lockstep with the world. I'm not down with any of that noise. And I'm gonna tell you what, we might stay here for a while on this message. And let me say this to you guys before I even get to it, and I'll end with it. All this gets done with love. All this gets done with love. All you're doing is educating them the freedom in Jesus. Amen. Here's the deal, as Pastor Pat, I'm not trying to manipulate anybody. Everybody comes to this church on a volunteer basis. If you don't like this church, leave and go to another one. Here's the problem, if you're looking for a perfect church, when you step into it, you'll contaminate it with your sin. So thank God that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, amen. Everybody's running around, I'm looking for the perfect church. Let me know when you find that, will you? Can I keep preaching this? Okay. Here's the deal. So we don't want to fall in lockstep with the world, and they can keep telling you about how concerned they are about your life, this, that, and the other. If they're concerned about your life, they would be concerned whether you went to heaven or not. Because we know you didn't bring anything into this world, and you ain't going to take anything with you when you leave. So let's get real. Amen. I wanted to get that in before I even started talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, it's fruit, not fruits. This fruit is a byproduct of being a Christian. Amen. So here's what he says in 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I put on the brakes there. So last night I was marrying some kids from this church. So praise God for Daniel and Sarah, those young kids. It was so awesome. And before, when we do our vows and I read them the vows and they're taking this oath before the Lord, all their marriage and their wedding and their life is all based on the concept of loving one another, but loving God first. I heard one of the aunts out there, she just shouted out, you know, like aunts do it, keep God first. And I was like, oh, yes. Amen. Aren't you glad for old aunts that are out there? You keep God first. And I'm like, praise God. So this thing about love, love is patient, love is kind, it's not envious or boastful. So some of you guys are elbowing your spouses right now, and we need to remember that this is in us. We just have to exercise this. We got to work this out a little bit so that this love grows. Say love grows. Love grows. We need to exercise this. And this isn't conditional about how you feel, because, you know, sometimes after you get married for a while, the honeymoon's over, and then you start to find out that the guy puts the toilet paper over the top instead of underneath. Oh, what a crisis. Hold on for a second, ladies. If he takes it, where's the cap to the toothpaste? If it dries up and gets nice and crusty in between the evening, it just seals it off for the next time. And when the cap falls off, it's falling straight into the trash anyways. I feel no need to dig it out of there or wash it off. We just throw it right back up in the cabinet. She's ready to roll the next day. Amen. Applaud if you're a guy so you understand what I'm talking about. There's still love there. But I think that's why I think that's why there's always a girl's bathroom or in a boy's bathroom. Or that, watch this. Here's what we're doing at the farm. We're doing double bowls. She has one, and I have one. Amen. We'll just leave it at that. But we still love each other. So here's the deal. I think if you really love somebody, do you need two bowls? Not really, but it's convenient, so we're doing it that way. I feel like I'm up here doing, you guys are marriage counseling me right now. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, and I want to talk about joy. You guys know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, and this is how we get stronger. This is what Nehemiah talks about. Nehemiah talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength. So this has nothing to do with feelings. This is something that's in there. I just got to find out how to get it back out. And the way we get it back out is associating with Christians, being around Christians, singing joyful songs, reading our Bible. As iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Just getting around each other, the joy starts to come back up in our spirit. Amen? And sometimes we got to agitate that, or the Apostle Paul tells young Timothy we have to stir up or fan the flame. So the joy of the Lord is our strength. And peace, peace, peace. Oh, Lord, do we need peace right now? And I talk about this in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. And it talks about all these things the Apostle Paul says. He says, do this, do this, do this. And he says, at the end, put these things in practice. Put these things in practice. And if you don't practice them, don't expect results. Amen? I like the concept of getting a six-pack abs and a buff body without working out. I like that concept. It's never worked, but I like the concept. Should we really expect six-pack abs if we eat a lot of donuts? No. Should we expect six-pack abs if we eat original flavored Doritos? No. And there's all kinds of flavors out there right now, but give me original, please. And people drop these off in my office, and I'm like, they're not original. Zesty, bold. Pumpkin spice. Yeah. Let's do this and then we'll get on to the. In this season, you have to drink pumpkin spice coffee one time because it's seasonal. But don't do it again. I always drink one cup every year just because it's Thanksgiving. But it's. Can I just say this and not offend you guys that are pumpkin spice coffee likers? To me, it's nasty. Amen. So here's what. So we're getting love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I'm going to talk about faithfulness, and then we're going to get on to the self-control. So faithfulness in this climate, the world is trying to get you fearful and not faithful. Trying to get you fearful and not faithful. So you can't have the two. You either got one or you got the other, but you can't have both. I either have faith that God is going to pull me through this. I either have faith that God is going to work in my marriage. I have faith that God's going to work in these areas with my children, or I can have fear. But in me, or in us, the Bible says that I have this. He says, I'm full of faith. I just have to exercise that. Amen. So we got kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and here's the last one. I saved this for last. Self-control. Say that with me, self-control. Oh, my gosh. Let's think about the video. I want to ask somebody a question, why we use cranberry sauce at Thanksgiving. I know it's traditional, but it shouldn't belong on the table. Did I just say that? I know it's sacrilegious. So self-control. So this and I think we all need self-control in this climate, because if somebody sends you one more email about such and such or such and such, you would probably lose your mind. So the way we tap into this area of self-control is trusting God to help us pause before we reply. And I've talked about that in the last couple of months. I'm going to ask you guys to rise because I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. And I'm going to ask the deacons and the pastors and the praise team to come up here for a second. So I want you to be thinking about self-control. And we all, and I can testify to this even in myself. Self-control. A lot of tension, a lot of pressure. And I want you to confess this if this is where you're at. And we'll move on from here in just a second. If you feel like right now that you have blown it meaning, you know what? I just wish I wouldn't have said that. Just don't psychoanalyze your move too much there. Self-control. And you can go ahead and play that. I want to pray for you so we can move on to this next thing. So you said, Pastor, I wish I would have had more self-control in this area. I want you to just keep your eyes closed, and I want everybody that has a self-control issue to just raise their hand right now. Self-control, maybe I'm a little out of control. This thing is starting to get to me. So instead of inviting, there's a lot of hands up, and you don't have to look right now. What I want you to do today is just kind of, you know, either bow your head there where you're at or kneel right there where you're at, or however you just get reverent before the Lord. I'm not going to ask you all to come up because there's just, quite frankly, just way too many hands. Okay, self-control. Let's think about this for just a second. How did we get there? How did we get there? How did you get there? How did you get to the place where you said that or you did that or you acted out? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's worldly pressure. We started to listen to it over and over, no matter what it was, and we started to believe in it, and we caved into it, and then we acted out. It was passion. It was desire. I got to say something back to him. Here's the deal. That's what I tell you, guys, week after week. Christianity is a religion of love. If you're a true Christian, you don't wish anything bad on anybody, regardless of how bad you dislike them. That's not how Christianity works. And right now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand with your eyes closed again and say, I wish you would bless me today. I wish you would bless me today. So here's what you do. Here's, you know, you talk about through the Bible, Mark, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, God tells us to turn from self and turn towards him. Because you can't have both. You can't, and you can drop the house lights down up there. You can't have both. You go, well, I'd like to still be able to act out and act like I ain't got good sense and still be in God. Here's the deal, man. You got one or the other. You either got the world or you got God. Amen. We're running around here trying to fix the world's problems when we got problems in our own house. He told you to start with yourself. Love yourself first. When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, know that that face that is in the mirror, God created that face just like he wants it. You ain't no mistake. Quit looking at yourself and running yourself down. Oh, sometimes we think it's pious if we run ourselves down. Oh, I wish I could be this. Or, Pastor, I wish I was this or that. And it's always, I wish I'd lose more weight or everything. Here's the deal. Who cares about how much you weigh if you ain't got Jesus in your life? We're running around here thinking that if I weigh the right weight, all's going to be right in my life. Hey, you're crazy. The only way everything can be right with your soul is to be right with God. Don't be driven by your feelings. Well, I wish I felt better. Here's the deal. No one's ever going to feel perfect, especially in this climate. You remember when you woke up this morning, you were wondering, the first thought in your head, some of you guys, let's be honest, you were thinking, well, I wonder what the world's going to throw at me today, or I wonder if I'm going to feel good, and this over and over. Oh, I was around somebody last night with COVID. I heard they had COVID, Pastor. COVID, COVID, COVID. Here's the deal. You can either concentrate on the problem or you can concentrate on the problem solver. And I'll just be quite frank with you from somebody in a family that's been through COVID like myself. Let me tell you something. If you get out there in the world, you're going to be around somebody that's got COVID. I can tell you that. Don't think you're going to run from it and go hide in a corner somewhere. And somebody's going to sprinkle fairy dust over your life and everything's going to be okay. The only way out of this, look at me real quick. The only way out of this thing right here is with God. I'm going to tell you what, and that's what they're trying to do. The world's trying to get God out of this thing. And the last thing I'll just tell you, they're trying to shut churches down. I want everybody to look at me, and we're going to pray over on this thing. Did you ever believe, if you've been a Christian for 20 years, 30 years, or whatever it is, or 5 minutes, did you ever think there was going to be a time when the world was going to try to tell you to shut down your Thanksgiving or your Christmas? Who's got the audacity and the arrogance to even let that come off their lips? Are you kidding me right now? Here's the deal. Here's what I told my church, and I told my staff, and I told my deacons. If you don't have Christmas, you ain't got a church. That's the birth of our risen Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. And if you can't muster up enough courage to celebrate that, let me tell you something. We're in a sad predicament right now. And I'll just be quite frank with you. My stance on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ has never changed, and it's stronger now than it ever was. That, you know, in uncertain times, we need to be sure of one thing, that Jesus is still on the throne, and He's the only King, not only of America, but all over the world. And we don't take a knee to any other king but Jesus Christ Himself. So here's what I'm going to ask you before we leave the church today. You know, the Bible talks about this. It says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his very soul? Is everyone in this church today and everybody that's out there on live stream born again, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Because let's be honest with you. There's dangers out in the world. Can you imagine in your wildest imagination, Lori, to be going through this and not be born again? Man, if you ain't saved, you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. You need to give your life to Jesus Christ. And moms and dads and grandmas who are here and watching the broadcast right now, if you have children that ain't born again, you ought to be raising your hand and ask God to intercede in this. So I want to pray together, and if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to raise your hand. Or if you've got family members or children that aren't born again, I'd like you to raise your hand, and we're just going to collectively pray for one another right now. And here's the big thing. I want you to listen to this right now. So when you leave here today, I want you to celebrate the love of Jesus Christ. And here's what also I want you to know something right now. You don't know what's going on in somebody else's life. So don't presume you do when you leave here. If somebody cuts you off, or they're trying to cut you off, even in the church parking lot or whatever, you have no idea what's going on in somebody else's life. And I believe today that God wants you to pray for those people that make you mad. Amen? Let's do that together. Let's bow. And you can turn that music up, Greg. Go ahead. Father God, today we want to ask for forgiveness. We repent of our sin. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I believe that you have raised up a standard in this church to stand against the wiles of the devil. We receive and believe, Father God, in the power of the Trinity. We believe in the movement of the Holy Ghost. Father God, we believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And he was raised 3 days later. I ask today, Father God, if there's someone here who doesn't know you as Lord and as Savior, that they would come on a bended knee and receive the free gift that only God can give. And Father God, today, as parents and grandparents, we stand in the name of Jesus and call down the blood of Christ Jesus on the prodigals and those who need to come to saving grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we pray, Lord God, that you stir up a conviction in their heart right now like we've never seen before, that they would give their life over to Christ and they would be born again. And this will be the greatest Thanksgiving of all time, that our relatives are saved and we're all safe under one banner of love. And we give you the glory, Father God, for this day of reckoning. In His name we pray, and all the church says amen.